thank you for being here and excited about what God has for us tonight. I trust that everyone has a prayer bulletin this evening. We will not take time to do prayer requests and praises tonight. There's a missions letter in there from the Haleys, who we support in West Africa. There are phoned-in requests that I will let you read and see and know what is going on in the lives of some of our folks in the immediate as they are requesting prayer. And had many unspokens that were brought to me tonight, and I trust that somewhere on that prayer sheet you'll write the unspokens. But I want you to have one of these so that you have something to write with. And you're going to need an ink pen as well. So now would be the time to find a pen in your purse. If you don't have a pen, maybe somebody's got one or two of them. I don't know. Maybe the ushers might have an extra one back there somewhere. But husband and wife, you might be able to share a pen. It depends upon how you interpret the message tonight. I don't know about that, but I want you to be able to write some things down. Hopefully that you will, if you don't write them on paper, at least write them in your mind. While we're looking for that, find, if you would, please, two passages of Scripture. Brother Joey's got pens. If you need a pen, just raise your hand, and they'll help you grab one back there. Anybody need an ink pen to help write with? Is anybody going to write down anything? That's a real thing. All right, just leave them on the back there, Brother Joey. If they need them, they'll grab them. Find 1 Peter chapter 3. Find, if you would, please, Ephesians chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and Ephesians chapter number 5. Both of these you'll find in the New Testament. Months ago, as I was praying and asking the Lord about direction and messages and what He would have for me to do, and He laid on my heart this evening. I did not know how this evening would unfold. I did not know that it was going to be in particular on this evening, but He laid this lesson upon my heart, and as He was giving it to me and encouraging me, He kind of got a little bit creative with it. You know, the Lord is very creative. You found that He finds creative ways to express His creativity in your life. Very rarely will the Lord ever do anything in your life like you thought He would do it. He has a peculiarity and a uniqueness in a way that He will get glory, and His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher, of course, and we submit to that, and we reckon that, and we understand that. One of the messages that the Lord laid on my heart was found in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll give you the verse, and for sake of time, I'll just read the one verse. Verse number 7, I know verses 1 to 6 fit the passage, and I may get to them in a little bit. But in verse number 7, there's some admonition here given to by the Apostle Peter to the husband. I think it is inclusive to the wife, because the very first word that you find is the word likewise. You find that same word in verse number 1, likewise. This likewise, both of these will reference back to chapter number 2. When Peter is expressing about the submissive spirit that you and I are to have when it comes to the authority of our lives, the supreme authority of the Lord Jesus, how the Lord Jesus exampled that submissive spirit for us there at the end of chapter number 2. And then the Apostle Peter, with the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, applies that into the foundation of marriage. He makes an application to the wife first, and then he makes an application to the husband. Matter of fact, in verse number 1, you find that very early in that verse, he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. And so this is the theme of chapter 2, chapter 3 here. By the way, husbands, I know you think that the wife is supposed to be in subjection to you because the Bible says, but the Bible really teaches that we submit to one another. A proper marriage and a blessed marriage will understand that. When you come to verse number 7, Peter writes, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that them is your wife, according to what, class? Knowledge. That phrase jumped off the page at me as I was studying, and God began to build that part of that verse in my heart, dwelling with them according to knowledge. And as God began to expand that in my mind, he began to expand the importance it is, especially within the institution of marriage. If we're going to dwell together in unity, if we're going to dwell together in peace, if we're going to dwell together in harmony as husband and wife, then we must dwell together with knowledge. I'll never forget one of the great admonitions that Pastor Lehman gave me as I was becoming the pastor and he was transitioning out, was the responsibility to teach and train the people. He told me that the responsibility to educate and to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. He said, Tom, people just don't naturally know things. They need to be taught. I found that to be true when it comes to marriage. A lot of times people go into marriage or get into marriage and they find very quickly that marriage is not unfolding the way they thought it would unfold, nor are they learning as quickly, or nor the things that they had known are they unfolding the way that they expected them to. And there's education that has to happen. And so I was taking that phrase, dwelling with them according to knowledge, and I began to build in my mind this night, in my heart. I began to talk with Beverly because we had done something similar to this before, but we've also practiced this in our own lives. We have been married now, 23 years. And we have learned, are learning, and will continue to learn how to dwell together according to knowledge. And even after 23 years, I can tell you she doesn't understand everything about me, and I don't understand everything about her. Stop looking at your spouse. I understand. None of us do. We're growing. We're constantly growing. We're constantly learning new things. We're constantly addressing old things. We're constantly communicating inside of our marriage. But I will tell you, when I got married to my wife, I was 21 years old. When I got married, I came, and my mother-in-law's here, so this is hard on me, all right? I came into the marriage with tremendous love. The problem was I loved the wrong person. It wasn't the Lord that I loved, and it really wasn't Beverly that I loved. I loved myself. When I got married, as I look back at those days, I was extremely selfish early in our marriage. It hurts me sometimes. It bothers me. It bothers all men if your wife ever acknowledges past failures. You don't like it. But I was extremely selfish. I look back on the way that I treated my wife, and I look back on some of the decisions that I did, and it just unfolds the depth of my selfishness. She never treated me that way. I think she came into our marriage spiritually stronger than I was. Sometimes I go back and I tell the girls that are getting married, when you marry a man, you better make sure the man you marry has the ability to spiritually lead you. I may have had that ability, but I wasn't exercising that ability at that time. And really, truthfully, it was the way that my wife walked with the Lord that really impressed upon my heart a desire to walk like that. Even Peter talked about how a man beholds his wife and a man watches his wife, and in the power and the encouragement that can have. And I know many of you men would feel that way. And so as I came into that marriage, I was selfish. I knew how to love myself. I did not know how to love my wife. And so it wasn't until I began to grow in the Lord and began to grow in the Word of God that I learned that that God's expectation of me as a husband was that I love my wife. Not only that I love my wife, but I love my wife the way that Christ loved the what class? The church. Now, whenever the Lord says, I want you to do something the way that I did it, oh my goodness, that puts pressure on you. So I want you to love me the way that Christ loved the church. And then he began to tag on that about that love and gave himself for it. And so we really and truthfully, as I did the catch-up work, we began to grow in our knowledge one of another. When we got married, even though we kind of came from similar backgrounds, we came from very different backgrounds. Even though we only lived 50 miles apart, we grew up with different sets of parents, different ideologies, different directions, different things that were approved or not approved, different belief system. And any marriage comes and you have to combine all of that. I remember one of the biggest fights that we had early in our marriage was my parents grew up where we went to the doctor if we thought we were sick. Okay? She grew up and they never went to the doctor. So they were more natural. We were more pharmaceutical. So when you take two strong mothers, this is unfair, horribly unfair, and you have a pharmaceutical and you have a natural, and then husband and wife come together and children come, so what are you going to do? I remember those days. Oh, mercy me. Navigating our way through that. I never forget the day I actually had to pick up the phone and call my mother and say, Mom, listen, the Bible says leave and cleave, and I'm going to leave and cleave, and we're going to do what we want to do here. That was a grown-up moment for a little boy. By the way, all men ought to always choose their wife over their mother. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for the woman married to a mama's boy. It's unfair. It's not biblical. Leave and cleave. Pastor, do I have a responsibility to care for my mother? Absolutely. You have a responsibility to honor your mother. But you have a responsibility to leave and cleave as well. So we began to learn one another. I began to learn what makes her tick. I began to learn what she liked. I began to learn what she didn't like. She began to learn me. And we have a wonderful, at least we did prior to this service, have a wonderful marriage and a wonderful time. So I really think as you dwell together in knowledge, sometimes you need to hear some things. And I think there are two pillars to every marriage that have to be understood. And if you don't understand these two pillars to your marriage, it's going to be very difficult to find stability. So come to Ephesians chapter 5 and let me show you what I believe to be the two absolute pillars that you must understand when it comes to your marriage. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight and try to help one another with. The first pillar deals with the husband, and I've already addressed this. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wife. You will not have what I call a successful, joyful, fulfilling, satisfying, vibrant marriage, men, if you don't know how to love your wife. You're not born with a natural understanding to how to love your wife. You have to be taught how to love your wife. The Bible teaches us how to love our wives. The Bible gives us an example on how to love our wives. And tonight, you're going to hear a little bit about this. Ladies, would you go to verse number 33 of chapter number 5? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33. This is the summation of this great chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as, what class? Himself. Okay. And the wife see that she, what's that word? Reverence her husband. And I think there's two pillars to every marriage. Love and reverence. That word reverence is the word respect. That word reverence carries with it the idea, the ability to communicate and to make feeling respect. And so when you take the true two transformable and pillars of marriage, has to be a husband properly loving his wife. It has to be a wife who understands how to properly reverence her husband. You give me a married couple and they can do that faithfully, I'll show you two people who have a wonderful marriage. Those two things don't just happen on their own. Those two things demand individual walk with the Lord, but they also demand individual study and knowledge and understanding of your spouse. So as we dwell together according to knowledge, I in order for me to love my wife, I've got to learn my wife. I've got to learn the Lord, the Word of God. I've got to learn my wife, and I've got to learn myself. In order for a wife and able to reverence her husband, she's got to learn the Lord. She's got to learn herself. And then she's got to learn some things about her man. And so Beverly and I have sat down at the kitchen table, and we have worked through some things in our lives, and we've worked through some understanding that we have with one another. And really and truthfully, you'll get a glimpse into our marriage and how we think about these things. And I hope that it's able to help and to bless you. And so at this time, I would like to invite my lovely, beautiful wife to come to the stage. Take your place over there. And when the bell rings, let's come out fighting, okay? All right, so you understand how this is going to work. Ladies, when you hear me talking, I'm talking to you, okay? So my admonition tonight is I'm telling ladies what a man thinks. Do you understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let me just put a little disclaimer. I'm just one man, I'm not every man, but I'm the best man in the room tonight. Because I've been prayed up for this. Okay? Now, men, when Beverly speaks, she's speaking to you. And when she's speaking to you, she's giving you how a woman perceives love. Ladies, when I speak, I'm speaking to you on how a man perceives your respect or your disrespect. And she's going to speak to the men on how a woman perceives their love or their unlove. And we'll go back and forth in the two of them. And so I guess we'll begin with the understanding of love. And so Beverly, here speaking from a man's point of view, the Bible says that a man is to love his wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, for a man, we think about love a little bit differently. We think this way. Here's how we express our love. Number one, we told you we love you a long time ago. That hadn't changed. Number two, we work hard. We bring the money home. We provide. We protect. If we're honest, you're the only person we sleep with, one wife, one partner that we sleep with. We kind of commit ourselves. And so therefore, because you have a car and a house and you have money and you have everything that you possibly need, then you should just naturally know that we love you.
Right or wrong, ladies. Right or wrong. Now, ladies, when I talk, you have to cheer me on, okay? You got to be saying amen,
is
the way it's supposed to go.
No, there's no cheering going on. There's no cheering.
All right. But men, now listen, okay? More than anything, yes, what he said is correct. I know, men, that's the way you like to show us that you love us. But men, we women don't always want just things. Okay, first of all, first and foremost, for a saved wife, okay, if you are in this room and you say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, men, what we want more than anything is we want to know that our man is actively spiritual, loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, mind, and soul. That is the most important thing. You know what? This man, he is great looking and everybody sees it. He provides, he does what all of those wonderful things he says. But you know what? More than anything, the most attractive thing to me about him is that I know he walks with God. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, mind, and soul. I see him. I know what he does. Not always. I don't always see him having his devotions. He studies a lot. He does his thing. But you know what? What comes out of his mouth matches what he walks and talks. It matches. So men, first and foremost, love. Love is loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your mind, heart, and soul. Because we know this, as you are obedient to Christ, you're going to be loving to us. So that's the first and foremost thing on love.
All right. So a man hears that, and he supports that, and he wants to be that. Most Christian men, we want to follow the Lord. We want to be spiritually right. Here's our problem. We're lazy. We're lazy about spiritual things and hard work. And so we don't have that drive, that consistency. I have found as working with people that women are way more consistent than men. Men fall on their feelings way more than a lady does. A lady doesn't rest on her feelings. She rests on duty. She rests upon consistency, and she goes forward. So a man hears that a woman wants for her husband to love the Lord, to provide spiritual leadership, to provide leadership. One of the ways that a man understands reverence is by the way that his wife supports his leadership. She has to support the headship of that man. I hear things like this. Sometimes men say, "Pastor, I'd be the leader, but my wife won't let me. I think you big sissy." No, I don't think that. Or she won't listen. Ladies, you need to understand that above the man's boss, above anybody else, a married man must have the respect of his wife. He's incomplete without it. Oh, he will put on this hard shell, and he'll scream, and he'll mope, and he'll holler or hide himself, however your man does it. And he'll put up this shell, which will act and show like you can't hurt him. But the wound is deep if a man believes that his wife, if he doesn't have the respect of his wife. Then you let some woman come along at the office, and you let her give him respect, and it perks that man. So I come back to understanding desire of spiritual leadership, but I would say to the ladies, you have to support that spiritual leadership. You have to support that headship. Here's some words that I think, ladies, you ought to write down. You ought to write down the word inspiration. You ought to write down the word interest. You ought to write down the word trust. You ought to write down the word believe. Vision, joy. These are things that a man needs from his wife. He needs his wife's inspiration. He needs her to believe in him. Well, my husband can't fix or do anything. He may laugh at that, but that bothers him. Speaking from somebody who can't do or fix anything. Belief and encouragement and support of your man's leadership, he needs that. Well, Pastor, how do we show support of that? I think one of the things that you show support in that is you're kind, you're gentle, you share in his interest, you listen to him. It's very frustrating to a man when his wife won't express joy over his vision or his dream. Pastor, my man's vision or dream is going to put us in the poorhouse. Okay, fine. But that's where you talk about things. Believe me, my visions and my dreams have put her in the poorhouse before. When we came to this church as the pastor, I was $35,000 debt credit cards. My credit score was tanked. That was my fault, me. I was so afraid when Pastor Lehman said to me, "Now you're going to be the guarantor for the church." You know what that is? That means that my credit score is behind everything that goes on in this thing, and my credit score couldn't get me a credit card. And I was coming to be the pastor here. I had done that to her. So praise the Lord. God convicted me of that and got hold of me right and straightened me out. And today I'm a good steward of our finances, and he pulled us out of all of that. So I full well know about dreams and visions that put us in the poorhouse. And we had some difficult moments about that, and this was my fault. But as a wife, you've got to be able to express to your man a direction without cutting his inspiration or his dream. So let me give you an example of this. You know, it's one thing to stand in front of a car or something like that. We just did this. We just purchased a car. And so, you know, if a man's going to buy a new car, that's like one of the greatest days of his life. Can I get an amen, men? Okay. So if a man's going to buy a car, now I've bought many cars Beverly's never known about. I just drove him in the driveway and said, here you go. Those have been great days. I don't suggest that, men. Don't do that. But if a man buys a car, he brings it home. He wants his wife to say, wow, that's awesome. Not, we can't afford that. Take it back. Or for a wife to say something like the ultimate thing that she can say is you do what you want to do, but I think this is a bad idea. Oh, brother, now what do I do? Now I know I'm carrying it all on my own. So Beverly said, we're going to buy a new car. How are we going to do this? And she's learned. She said, will you do me a favor? I said, yeah. She said, would you sit down here at the table and will you take our finances and will you just show me how we're going to pay for this car? And so I did exactly that. I sat down. I said, you're not going to get your hair cut, your nails done. You're not going to do all of that. And we're going to drive a Mercedes Benz, baby. All right. She does a wonderful way of challenging my dream and my vision without killing my inspiration. A man will never tolerate being married to a mother. A man will never tolerate being married to a mother who says, no, you can't. That's disrespectful to him. He's just not going to do that. The second way we show love.
Okay, the second way here. Man, you got your pens and papers all ready? All right, Randy, I got you. Here we go. All right, this sounds horrible. But I'm sorry, men, this is the way women think, okay? Love me first. Love me first. Outside of Christ, okay? Christ is first and foremost. But next, we have to feel that you love us above everything else. And that's included your job, your hobbies, your extracurricular sports, your entertainment, your video games, your TV shows. Now I'm meddling. I know. But your mother, and this is a very important one. And guys, you gotta be careful. Lady friends. I know many guys who have friends. Oh, I've known her for years. Oh, it's not a big to do. It's just a friend. Let me tell you, if your wife feels threatened, you're going to have problems. Your wife ought never to feel threatened by any of those things. Never, never. We cannot, we are not made to be able to handle that competition. It cannot be. We cannot handle it. So love us first. Number three, don't forget me. Well, what do you mean by that? Don't forget me. What does that mean? Your life gets busy. We understand that. We understand that. It gets crazy. We go, we run, we do. You have meetings at night. You've got this, you've got that. You have all these different things. But don't forget, I'm your wife. I'm here. Don't make big decisions without me. What's the next big thing that you've got to do? Do this. I love it when my husband will come to me and say, honey, we need to stop and we need to pray. because we've got this to make, this decision, this thing, this opportunity. Include your wife. Remember, you have your wife. God made her as a completer. And I'm going to use that word again later on in the next point, couple points down. But don't forget her. Every now and then, remember to compliment her. Remember to compliment her. Well, that sounds strange. Who cares? No, really, we do care. We do. Did she get her hair cut? Did you say, something's different about you? Or did you say, I like your haircut? Did she get a new dress? Does she look lovely today? Did she cook a great tasting meal, guys? Come on. You know what, Evan? It doesn't mean that every night you have to be saying thank you, thank you, thank you, even though it is nice to be said thank you to. But now and then, remember to compliment her. God gave her to you. You have her for a period of time. You don't know when. But don't forget her. She is your wife. Number four. Please don't take me for granted. Okay, we all live different types of lives. We, of course, are in the ministry. Okay, but you know your situation. Don't just assume, men, that your woman is going to do everything. Okay, whether that's everything from housework, which I'm saying, ladies, that's our job, that is our position, yet we do work outside the homes now, too, and I understand that. So, men, don't just assume she is going to have everything accomplished at some point in time. Know this. Remember, before volunteering her, why don't you ask her? Okay? Amen. All right. Right there we have it. No. Understand this. You know what? Just remember to ask her. More than likely, she's going to be willing to say, I'll cook that meal for the next gathering you have, or whatever your job is that you do need from her. More than likely, 9 times out of 10, I am willing to do whatever he would like me to do for him. But just don't take it for granted. Just remember, hey, she's human too. She likes to be communicated to with respect also. All right? So don't take her for granted. Show appreciation. Everybody likes to just every now and then, thank you. Honey, thanks for ironing my shirts today. Honey, thanks for making my lunch. Thank you for the dinner, whatever it be. Just remember to show a little appreciation.
All right. You did wonderful. My turn. All right. So, a man's okay showing appreciation. A man's okay, you know, on the compliment. A man may not always see everything, and he. It's very easy for a man to take his wife for granted. Ladies, let me just give you the way a man thinks about that. A man thinks about his wife being able to do anything and everything. Sometimes it's a compliment in the fact that, hey, my wife is strong enough, or she can do this or whatever. We don't mean to be overly burdened about that. You're just faithful. You're able to do it, and we count on you along those lines. When it comes to compliments, we're willing to give them, but you have to understand too, ladies, that a man it's hard to compliment a woman who's mean. I didn't know any other way to say that. Okay? So, how does a man interpret respect? A man interprets respect not only by your support and your inspiration, your headship, but also by your attitude and your spirit. That's what Peter was saying. The ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Ladies, from the moment your man lays eyes on you when he gets home, he's measuring your attitude or your spirit. Because he probably wants one of three things. Something to eat, something to buy, or something else, if you know what I'm saying, okay? So he's measuring that. And a man has the ability to do two things at once. He can separate your words from your attitude. All right? So here's what a man does. A man's constantly reading your facial expression. He sees sneering. He watches for body language. A man understands the silent treatment and he understands the cold shoulder. I'll never forget one day I woke up and it just it wasn't right. It wasn't right. I could tell it wasn't right. And she was not treating me softly and gently. And you know, there's a certain way a woman can close a drawer. There's a way a woman can close a drawer, you know? So I'm finally like, what's wrong? Nothing. I don't believe you. Nothing. Okay. Went back in the other room. I'm like, Lord, something's wrong. Thinking, what did I do? What did I do? So finally I come in. She's standing there. I said, what's wrong? She paused. I knew she wanted to say something. I knew I was making headway. And I'll never forget what she said. You're laughing already because you know. She says, I'm mad at you. I said, well, obviously you're mad at me. You haven't said a word to me. You've slammed everything in the whole place. What's wrong? Last night in my dream. Now, men, that's over the edge, don't you think? I'm being punished for something in your dream. A man's always measuring how you put away the dishes, lady. He can't, the quiet treatment or the sneering just screams disrespect to him. I have this down. What you wear to bed. A man measures your attitude and your spirit by what you wear to bed. You have certain things you wear to bed, and then you have certain things you wear to bed. A man measures your attitude and your spirit by which way you face in the bed. How you cover up yourself in the bed. How early you go to bed. A man learns a lot about his wife from how she goes to bed. Okay. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because it's a force that repels a man. He's testing. He's looking. And if he feels those walls and those shields and that attitude is up, he's not even going to bother. But that's how he measures respect and reverence. Well, Pastor, do you and Beverly ever fight? Absolutely. Pastor, do you have a perfect situation? No, we don't. But she understands the value of a meek and a quiet spirit. That doesn't mean she doesn't give her opinion. That doesn't mean she doesn't vocalize. We do a wonderful job communicating together. We had to learn that. I need her opinion. She's a helpmeet and a completer to me. If your wife feels like she doesn't have a voice in your marriage, you're in trouble. You got to just let that bang around in her. Pastor, you're supposed to be talking to the women. Yeah, I know. That one slipped out. Sorry about that. Ladies. You got a problem if your man doesn't want to be in your house. You got a problem. Pastor, my man comes home, changes his clothes, leaves the house, doesn't come home. Right. He's got a problem. No, you're the problem. How do you know I'm the problem? Well, the Bible said that a man would rather dwell on the housetop than dwell in a room with a brawling woman. Right. Well, Pastor, I understand. But you got to understand, your man would die for you, but and sometimes he wants to kill you. But he's a man. A man, It's funny, we're chickens. We're big, fat chickens. And when those walls of attitude and haughty spirit or aggressive spirit, when they're not reverent, man, our spidey sense goes off. And then we just avoid. Now watch how this plays into her next points.
Okay, number 5 for you guys. Please don't abuse me. What does that mean? Abuse me? I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to do that. It's not that. Remember, I do have feelings. Your wife has feelings. She is fragile. Yes. Please don't belittle me. I'm not a child. I'm your wife. Please don't disrespect me. I'm not a coworker. I'm your wife. Remember the tone of which you speak to your wife. It matters. Do you know that a tone can just make or break a complete spirit of your wife? You might not have meant it that way, but you know what she heard and she received it as? She took it that way. Be careful. It does matter. Don't embarrass her in public. Maybe something happened and it wasn't the way you wanted it to go. By all means, don't call her out in front of everyone and do that. Sure, speak to her later, but make sure it's later in the privacy between the two of you. Don't ever try and embarrass women the same way with your husbands. Never embarrass each other. That's the last thing you want to do. That can hurt you more than anything, is the way in which you treat each other. Number 6, don't shut me out or stop talking to me. When things are stressful, men, I know this is very much not your character. It is not your character to talk, to share your feelings, to let things out. But you know what your wife wants? She just wants to be a little bit a part of knowing what's going on up in here. When you become quiet and you become all reclused and off to the side and you just go sit in your recliner and you don't want to speak about anything, you don't want to say anything, you don't want to do anything, it kills your wife on the inside, because she feels like he wants no part. He doesn't want me to be a part of his life. You know what, men? You might fail at some things, because none of us are perfect. But understand this, we as women, we will never look at you and say you are a failure. So don't be afraid to delve down in, because somewhere deep inside a man, you do have a little bit of a soft side to you. And get down in there and be able to communicate to your wife. She desires that. You want to build your relationship? Talk to one another. Communicate. Share with her. Let her know what you're feeling inside. Okay? You don't have to think that's weak. It's just a way to say, honey, I care, and I know you care. You know what? Your wife will do this. She'll be like, honey, I'll be praying. We will pray together for whatever situation it is.
Yeah, and here's where affairs start. This is where affairs start. You don't walk up and grab a woman and immediately go to bed with her in your office. But you do talk to her. And you do email her. And you do kind of unload. And I'm finding that men are having emotional and conversational affairs with other ladies that develops into a physical affair. That kind of vulnerability and conversation is supposed to be between you and your wife. "Well, Pastor, I can't talk to my wife about these things," then there's a problem in your marriage. Somewhere you got to get that fixed. Somewhere you got to find out where the problem is. And men, we hate to be thought of as a failure. And especially ladies, if we have to have your respect and we failed at something, and if a man thinks that if his wife finds out about this, she's going to look at him as a failure, he'll hide. He'll hide that expense. He'll hide that mess up. He'll do whatever he can because he doesn't feel it's a safe place. Again, men are chickens. And when it comes to their wives, man alive, that drive and that vulnerability is just, they're so afraid of that. But then they meet some woman at work and there's this freedom to speak, and there's freedom to unload, whether there's no judging, whether there's no attitude, whether there's no whatever. Now she's not your wife, and your wife has the ability to do those things. But this is where problems start. If a man cannot communicate his failure or his failing or his troubledness or whatever to his wife, then he will communicate it somewhere. The devil will make sure you have an opportunity to communicate it somewhere. It's been my thing as the pastors. I've caught a lot of men, and they told me, "Pastor, I haven't slept with this person, but if it continues, I'm headed down this path." And the "it" that it continues is they're building that emotional bond with that other partner. The only emotional bond you better have is with the Lord and with your wife. And women, the only emotional bond you better have is with your bozo, your husband. Let me talk about the way a man feels reverence as well, too, because Beverly touched upon it. Words and tones go both ways. The way the man's measuring your attitude and your spirit, he's measuring your tone. Well, go ahead if you want to, or do it this way. Just because you give permission to do something, your man, he doesn't need your permission. He just wants your support. But you can give your permission, but your tone says no. Words and tones. The Bible says that Sarah called Abraham Lord. Now, you don't have to do that as far as in an aggressive way, but she was tender with her words toward Abraham. Ladies, your words have the power to either stir up your man or shut him down. Your words have the ability to either stir up your man in a positive way, or they have the ability to shut him down in a negative way. "Pastor, I'm finished with her. I can't talk to her anymore. Pastor, I can't take the way she talks to me anymore." Words and tones. The Bible says, may our words be fitly spoken like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. A lot of times we say words that we can't take back, both husband and wife. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Words have the ability to destroy. The Bible will teach us that. Words and tones. And so, ladies, a man doesn't hear what you're saying. He hears how you're saying it. Amen, chickens. A man doesn't hear what you're saying. He hears how you're saying it. All right, give him our last ones and we'll be...
All right, our number 7. Don't stop trusting me. It goes hand in hand with all of these ideas that were given to you. Don't stop trusting me. I am your helpmate. I am your helpmate. I am one to confide in. Ladies, just to add on what Pastor is saying, when your man is willing to open up, the last thing you want to do is go, "Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness, I can't believe." No, be careful your response to your man. You want him to confide in you. And so be sure that your response to him is one of trustworthiness. It's not time to pick up the phone and talk to your girlfriend. You know my husband, da, 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 da.
Or your mother.
Or your mother, yes. Either one. It's no. Listen, that is between you and your husband. You want your man to confide in you, man. Your wife wants you to confide in her. I am your completer. God made us that way, men. We want to help complete. Now, women, remember, we're not their moms. We're not mothering them, but we're completing them, encouraging them. So men, as you respond, your woman will respond back. Number 8, don't take it out on me. Well, what do you mean by that? Listen, most of you all have separate jobs. One goes one way, one goes the other. My husband and I, we actually go to the same place, obviously, as you guys know. But you know what? Most of the time, men, your wife does not know what has happened to you throughout the day. So if you've had a bad day, you've had to fire somebody, you've had to be fired, who knows, whatever it is, let's hope not, whatever it is, when you come home, remember, don't lash out at her. She doesn't know what you've been through that day, which leads back to communicating. Yeah, so you've had a bad day. You know what? Sit down. Talk to her. Say, hey, I want to share with you, this is what has happened today. It is not a great thing, a grand thing, but you know what? As a Christian couple, you guys go to the Lord to it in prayer, and that is what gets you through it. So remember, don't come through the door yelling and screaming at her. She just simply wanted to know, honey, how was your day? Not let me give you an earful. Remember the tone of which we communicate. The last one, number 9, don't forget to schedule time for me. Don't forget, men, we need a date. We need time to spend with you. Yes, you give us our weekly allowance, you give us grocery money, you give us spending money, you give us a car, you give us a house, you give us this, you give us that. But you know what? Those are wonderful things, and we appreciate those things. But more than that, we want to spend time with you. It's you that God has given to us to complete each other. That's what we desire, is to love you, you to love us. So don't forget, spend time with each other. Big date. Put it on the calendar. I know we all live many different lives. Some have kids. Some have old kids. Some have no kids. Some have retirement. But you know what? You're never too old. You're never too young. You're never too busy to go on a date. And don't let them forget it. All right?
The other day I was talking with a young couple. They've got 4 children. We took them to lunch. I think their oldest child may have been 9 or 10. And what came out of their mouth appalled me. They said, Pastor, this is the first time we've ever been without our kids in 9 years. I thought, are you kidding me? One thing I appreciate about the Giles and the marriage classes, they teach us how to do those marriage retreats. I would say, husband and wife, you guys got to get alone together and spend time together. Take you a date, go somewhere. Pastor, we just can't afford it. Yeah, you can. Work hard and find a way to afford it. But you need each other. You have to develop. I have a concluding statement on my thing here. Marriage takes hard, consistent work. You can say amen.
Amen.
Amen to that, right? All right, my last 2 points real quick. How does a man feel reverence and respect? Number 1, by the support of headship from his wife as an inspiration, believing in him, trusting him in his leadership, communicating, expressing joys. Number 2, by her attitude or her spirit, that it's meek and that it's quiet. Number 3, by the words and the tone that are reverential. And don't take that to the extreme. I know it's not always that way, but they're not damnable on the other end. They're encouraging. They're lifting. Number 4, a man interprets reverence and respect, ladies, when he's with you in public. When he's in with you in public. Pastor, we go to the restaurant. Step back this way. And like we'll say, 2 please. And my man just goes like this. He never waits for me. He's probably because he's embarrassed about you. Understand, when a man is embarrassed, He will find the smallest hole he can find and crawl into it. Or he will want to escape it. Well, how could I embarrass him? Might be your appearance. Well, Pastor, I can't do much about the way I look. I understand that. But when you go out, you can get dressed up. It might be the volume that you have. Ask your spouse the next time you're at dinner, am I loud? The loudest man that was ever born was her dad. Godly man, but God gave him lungs to preach the gospel. Them lungs got translated down and so on and so forth. Well, I'm kind of a quiet natured kind of guy, you know. So now it's kind of reversed. Now we go out to eat, she's like, shh, you're being loud. A man feels respect by when his wife is in public. She's not a negative attraction. She responds to him. She supports him. She looks good for him. Ladies, a man wants his wife to look good for him. That doesn't mean that anything other than if you're going to get dressed up to go out to work, get dressed and go out to work. Get dressed to go up with him. Don't just think. I had one lady tell me, I'll never forget this. I didn't do their wedding. I almost did their wedding. And she came in one day and she didn't have an ounce of makeup on. Nothing. She had sweatpants on. She looked like a bum. And she said, we're having problems. And I thought, I'll bet you are. I promise you, this is the exact counsel I gave her. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what's up with this? Well, listen, I'm not getting dressed. We're married and he's going to get me the way. I said, well, he's going to find somebody else. He did. He did. You say, well, he's a pig. Yeah, he is a pig. But he didn't feel respect. So she won him back, by the way. He had multiple people. And she humbled herself to the Lord. She got right with God in her spirit. And then when her spirit got right with God, she came one day, I thought, oh my goodness. But she won him back. They're married today. It's a great story. A man feels respect and reverence by that. And my last one, and it's a good one to end on. A man feels reverence when it comes to intimacy, physical intimacy. No way, shape, or form can you scream disrespect than to fail when it comes to physical intimacy. Physical intimacy is the way that a man expresses his love for his wife. He chose you out of all the other ones. Men are predators. I don't care if a man is 10 years old or he's 100 years old. A man still cares about what other women think about him. He does. When a man gets dressed, he's out in public, he wants everybody to think he's handsome, to think he's attractive. That's just in a man's nature. A man is a predatorial kind of being. That's the way God made him to be, that way. Why do you tell me this, Pastor? Because one of the ways that he expresses his love is he has said no to all of the other women and he said yes to you. I'll say my own amen to this. Okay, so if you cut that off and you scream disrespect at that, then you've got a problem. Now, men, most men don't understand how to romanticize a woman, and they're fools at that. You better learn how to romanticize your wife. Men have an expectation at the end of the day that they destroyed during the day. Say that again. Men have an expectation at the end of the day that they destroyed during the day. Ladies, you need to know a couple things about your man. When it comes to physical intimacy, he can't feel like he's the guy that always has to ask or beg. He won't do that. He'll give little signs, but if he runs into that attitude or that spirit, or he runs into those tough words, He ain't going to ask. He ain't going to beg. He may show a little advancement and test the waters. No, not today. A man can't feel like a creep. He can't feel like a pervert. He can't feel like an addict when it comes to his wife. Now, a man can't be sinful with it in his abilities here. He won't beg. He won't ask. He won't like routine, boredom. You can't let that part of your marriage get stagnant. You can't. Now, physical things happen and life happens, and I understand there's different things here. But where there is the ability there, you better understand that your man thinks about that part of his life a billion times more than you think about it. I'm letting you into a man's mind once a minute. You think I'm kidding? Ask him when you get home. He needs participation. He needs encouragement there. Now, understand, a lady thinks that a man has to earn that, but the Bible says render it. The Bible says render it from both people. And so the moment that you take that part of your marriage and you think you begin, it has to be earned and not rendered, you're out of biblical order and you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Normally, when problems come, the first thing that gets stopped is that. And I understand that's human nature. But you let that go on a long time. And here's what the Bible said. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let a man have his wife and let a wife have her husband. So you can call him a pig all you want. But the Bible said, if he doesn't have you, then fornication is coming. Well, he should be more spiritual than that. No, both of you should be more spiritual than that. How does a man interpret reverence? Support to his headship, inspiration and belief, trust. Attitude and spirit as it's communicated in through your relationships. Words and tone, public appearances, and then through intimacy. How does a woman interpret love? You love the Lord first, men. Then you love her next more than anyone else on the planet. No competition. You don't forget her. You don't take her for granted. You don't abuse her in any way. You don't shut her out or stop talking to her. You don't stop trusting her. You don't take out your day upon her. And then you remember to schedule time with her. Christ loved the church and gave himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. I think those are the two pillars of all successful marriages. Those are the two pillars that individually we have the responsibility to do. Individually we do them as we relate to the Lord. And I trust that you'll make this part of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right.